Hey guys, welcome back to Fiction Fixation.
We're your hosts. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Rose.
This week, we're going to be recapping the 2021 sci-fi thriller Awake, starring Gina Rodriguez and Ariana Greenblatt.
All right, so before we start this recap, I think we need to make sure everyone is on the same page as far as this movie being unintentionally hilarious and not making any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it tries to make sense, but it absolutely does not.
The reason I say that is because if you're listening to us and you start thinking to yourself, that doesn't make sense. Like, we're with you. It like doesn't make sense.
If you're like, they skipped something. No, baby girl, we didn't. No, we didn't. The movie did not come with that.
Right. And so going into trying to describe who the main character is, we are scraping the sides of the barrel trying to figure out who she is.
So far, what we can tell you is Jill is our main character. She is ex-military.
There are different jobs in the military, but this movie doesn't seem to recognize that. It seems to just think like Jill was military, and it doesn't tell us what she did in the military.
So I want you to think of it as like Jill was military Barbie, just military, not soldier military. Mm-hmm. So not lifeguard, beach.
Yes. Her job was military.
Military.
Which is often confused with being a soldier, which is not the same thing, because a soldier is boots on the ground fighting, and Jill was military.
She was discharged from the military. Jill was using and selling prescription drugs, which honestly, it's not that uncommon for military members to get hooked on prescription drugs, because that's kind of like the military's answer for a lot of things.
That's a really good point. The military doctors do have a habit of just throwing medicine at things, of just being like, oh, this hurts, take this, that hurts, take that. Even though she got in trouble for this in the military and apparently had a hard time finding a job after, she did end up getting a job as a security guard at some research university.
Yeah, she works at the research university, and one of the psychiatrists that she worked with in the military actually helped get her this job.
Yeah, but you know, old habits die hard. And in the beginning of the movie, we see Jill sneaking around some facility to steal expired drugs to then turn around and sell them. I don't know if she did jail time in the military. That's the thing too, because if you do something illegal while you're in the military, you end up in the brig.
I don't think she did any actual jail time. So Jill lost custody of her children at some point, and her mother, Jill's mother, has custody of the children. So she has two kids. She has a teenage boy who's probably like 16. Mm-hmm. His name is Noah. And then she has a little girl whose name is Matilda. And Matilda's probably like, what, 8, 9 years old?
She's played by Ariana Greenblatt, which is the same girl who plays the daughter in the Barbie movie. And she is phenomenal.
Yes. She is. She is such a good actress. There's definitely a different dynamic between the two kids and Jill. So Matilda, the little girl, is always happy to see her mom. She's like, Mommy, oh my God, I'm so happy to see you. The teenage boy is like, Grandma, I actually don't have to go with her per the court order. I can stay with you. I don't have to go with this drug dealer.
Right.
So there's definitely some tension between the older child and Jill, whereas there does not seem to be any between the younger child and Jill.
Yeah. So Jill picks up her two kids and we get a shot of them driving down the road.
It seems like Jill loses control of the vehicle, but also it seems like the other vehicles around them, also those drivers, lose control of the vehicle.
Yeah, it's like cars malfunction. They just power down and she ends up swerving into the side of the road. And for a second, it seems like everybody's okay. But then, of course, they get T-boned by another truck that also lost control.
Yeah, and that truck T-bones them into a lake.
Mm-hmm. Watching the scene of the car being submerged and the panic of her trying to get out and the son's seatbelt getting stuck, it feels really real. Because I don't know if you've noticed on TikTok shop right now, everybody's pushing the seatbelt cutters.
Yeah, no, everyone's pushing them. And have you bought one?
Yes, I bought two.
Okay, I have not, but I don't know which one to buy. What if I get scammed? What if I buy the shitty ones?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's the thing, right? Like, you're not going to use them until you need them. And then by then, it's going to be too late to write an angry letter because you're going to be dead. So, yeah.
Okay, that's not making me feel better at all.
Sorry.
During the crash into the lake, mm-hmm. the windows break. Jill manages to get her daughter out of the car, but she has to go back and help her son because mm-hmm. her son's seatbelt is stuck and he can't get out.
By the time Jill and her son get to the surface, they don't know where the daughter is. And they look over and there's two sheriffs doing CPR on her daughter, like her daughter drowned, essentially.
Yeah, she's coughing up water. They had to, you know, do chest compressions and stuff on her to get the water out of her lungs. The daughter is shaken up. The boy is shaken up. Jill is bleeding from the head. Mm-hmm. The sheriffs are like, hey, listen, none of the cars are working. Cell phones aren't working. Radios aren't working. I don't think we're going to be able to get an ambulance out here, but there's a VA hospital down the road. You should probably go there. You're going to need stitches because, again, Jill is bleeding from the head.
So Jill takes her kids to this VA hospital. It's chaos in there, right? There's a bunch of people that got in car accidents and really strange things are happening. People that were in comas just woke up.
Yes.
That's bizarre.
You know, it's fine. It's a miracle. So yeah, these coma patients have just woke up and you have all these conspiracy theorists kind of are like, it's the end of days.
No one knows what's going on. No one knows what's going on. There's no way to figure it out because there's no community, like nothing electrical is working.
Yeah. At one point, Jill just kind of decides she's not waiting in line for shit. She finds an exam room, finds herself some surgical glue and just glues her own forehead back together.
That gave me Courtney vibes. That was so you.
Okay, first of all, I keep surgical glue at my house. I don't usually use it for face stuff, but yeah, you should keep some at your house.
So Jill and her kids go back to grandma's house. It is obviously dark there because all the power's out. This is nighttime. This is very important. I need you guys to pay attention to the number of night scenes that we are shown, okay? This is very relevant.
This is night one, bedtime number one.
Jill tucks her daughter in. Her daughter goes to sleep, but Jill and grandma can't fall asleep. At this point, I'm like, you know what? It's understandable because I'm thinking all the adults are probably up worried to death about what the hell happened that knocked out all the electricity.
They are still amped up with adrenaline. You know, that adrenaline has not faded yet. Okay. Doris, the grandmother, comes and asks Jill, hey, girly pop, you got a little something something to help me sleep? And Jill's like, you know, the judge says I can't do that. And Jill is telling the truth. She does not have anything because she already sold it.
She already sold it. Yeah. I have to know, and this is such a pet peeve of mine, but like I couldn't freaking see some of the scenes in this movie because they were so dark. I get that you're trying to portray darkness because there's no light, electricity is out. But bro, come on. This is a movie. We need to be able to see what's happening. Like I was holding my phone an inch from my face and I couldn't see what was going on in the night scenes.
No, for real. They definitely need to figure out something with the movies to make the night scenes a little bit brighter.
Get more candles up in this bitch. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's a wild idea. Maybe it's a full moon that night and every night following.
Maybe somebody has a dim bedside table lamp.
It's not gonna work. There's no electricity.
A battery operated little puck light.
And this is the part where immediately the movie didn't make sense to me, right? Because cars aren't working. There's no electricity. And I'm like, wait a minute. What? Like, what is gonna make cars don't run on electricity? Most cars don't run on electricity. So how the hell are cars not working? Do you know what I mean?
Ooh, no, I know this. So cars have a lot of electrical components to them. Cars have like electric starters on them. Like the alternator and stuff is all electric. So
I get it, but the car was on when it just shut off.
Yes, because the batteries in the car are electric.
But batteries have power in them.
Yes, batteries have power in them. So that would also mean that batteries are not working.
Well, yeah, I guess that's where I'm getting at, where it's like, I can buy that electricity is out, but that's what batteries are for. Do you know what I mean? And so like the fact mm-hmm. that batteries aren't working, like the science isn't really jiving for me that all batteries everywhere suddenly aren't working.
No, that makes sense. I don't know. Again, like we said, some parts of this movie, just we're trying to explain it as best as we can, but the science is not sciencing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They really, when we say science fiction, it's like the science is tiny, tiny, itty bitty, itty bitty, and the fiction is really big.
There was a lot of liberties taken with the science here. Okay. A lot of artistic liberties were taken with the science in this movie.
The source material for the events of this movie is literally, trust me, bro. Like, that's it.
Yeah, we're trying. we're trying to trust. However, we are not understanding.
It seems like Jill and Grandma don't sleep that night. And Jill takes her bike out at the crack of dawn before the sun is up. She takes her bike out that night.
Jill takes her bike out and she heads to the place where she normally works. Mm-hmm. I think it's a research laboratory at a university.
Nobody's there.
Nobody's there at first. She gets into the research lab and she goes straight to what she normally does. She goes to the expired medication and she goes to take it. But as she's doing her thing that she normally does, military people come in with guns, like pointed at her.
Yeah, the military rolled up. And by this point, the sun is up already. So it's already daytime.
Yeah.
So this is technically the first morning. All right. Remember that. The military has rolled up. Somehow, military cars work, okay? Military batteries, they're different. They're different batteries. They're not like other batteries.
And these ballsy college students are like, why do your cars work? Why do your cars work and not mine? Bro, do you not see the machine gun strapped to their chest? Maybe lower your fucking voice.
Yeah, the military is coming in hot, like pointing guns. Like, dude, what is requiring this level of intensity?
When they come in and they start pointing their guns at Jill, she just rattles off like her rank and unit or whatever it is, her military info. And then the psychiatrist that she worked with in the military, she comes in and says she's fine. And Jill immediately starts going into damage control mode and explaining. She's like, oh my God, Lori, this is not what it looks like. I know you helped me get this job. And Lori's like, bitch, I don't give a fuck that you're selling pills right now.
Girly, we've got bigger fish to fry. So the psychiatrist, Lori Murphy, she's apparently in charge of this research facility. And for some reason, this research facility is now being commanded by the U.S. military. Like the U.S. military is now like, you guys are doing research for us. The research psychiatrist lady, she tells Jill that there is something happening where no one can sleep. And after 48 hours of people not sleeping, they're going to lose critical thinking. It's going to be total chaos. And so I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, that's a big deal. But you know what? What's a bigger deal than people not sleeping? Whatever the fuck took out all the electricity and is making batteries not work. Like, we still have no answers on that.
But also, like, are they related or are they separate?
Yes.
You can make an assumption, you know, because two bad things could happen at once.
But it was like, you've got to make it make sense, bestie. Because if suddenly the freaking power grid went out, my first question is going to be like, why did that happen? It's not going to be like, why can't I sleep?
Here's the thing. I think that if the power grid went out, my first assumption would be like, we are under attack.
Exactly.
But the thing is, if nobody could sleep, my first assumption would be like, we are under attack. But different attacks. Like, one is chemical warfare and the other one is hacking.
No, 100%. And so, like, the fact that the military is rolling up, that part wasn't surprising to me because I'm like, yeah, something is happening, right? Like, the military is mobilizing. This is making sense. But the fact that the military's main mission is, like, again, after one night of people not sleeping, how they know that this is happening to everyone, no clue. But they are suddenly deciding this is priority. People aren't sleeping. We need to figure this out. And I'm just like, what?
Yes. So Dr. Murphy, she tells Jill, hey, listen, we're starting a hub over here in this other city. You should definitely come.
Because the priority is figuring out why people didn't sleep last night. That's the priority.
Like, but can we talk about the power?
I'm fucking dying. Like, I am dying right now. This is what's mobilizing the military. This is what a research hub is being built around. I didn't sleep last night.
You know what? You guys are fucking weak. You guys are weak.
It's one night, bro. How about we focus on getting the power up? Like, I don't know.
Maybe people didn't sleep because their fans aren't working. Yeah, like, listen, I think it's all just their rooms were too hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Jill's other coworker comes in and he's talking about how this one woman, she's the only woman in the whole United States or world maybe that can sleep. And Jill's like, that's fucking bullshit. My daughter slept. She's like, you guys are overreacting.
Honestly, first of all, my question is like, one, how do they know this? Remember, there's no communication. Like, comms are down. How do you know that this is happening everywhere? And also, how do you know that no one's sleeping? Did you guys knock on every door in the US already and ask if people slept last night? Like, I don't understand how they know this. But yeah, Jill is like, you guys might be overreacting because my daughter slept. Like, I left her at home. She's sleeping right now.
And then her coworker is like, Jill, your daughter's the answer. We need your daughter to bring her to the hub.
He says, she can help us find the cure. And I'm like, bitch, the cure for what? Just turn the power back on. Like, I can't with this movie.
And I want to be like, melatonin? Yeah. Like, have you guys tried it, though? I'm just saying, have we tried that nice little cocktail that they give you before general surgery? Have we tried that?
We learn later that even anesthesia is not working to put people down. We do mm-hmm. learn that later on in the movie. As the movie goes on, we see that it really is serious. And like, I get it, right? Like, it is a serious thing for people not to sleep. Courtney, what I didn't understand is how they are making this huge of a deal about it after, like, we didn't sleep last night. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the part of the movie that's like, bro, this doesn't make sense.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's 48 hours of no sleep. Your cognitive thinking skills, it's not like it, you know, drops a little bit. It goes, it's a slide.
Right. We are told that after 48 hours of not sleeping, human cognitive thinking goes down. And the longer you go without sleeping, the worse and worse it gets. But then also, like, your system starts shutting down, like your brain mm-hmm. starts swelling, like crazy things happen. Listen, I'm on board with that. I get it. I believe it. Bro, it's been one night.
Right. So they're like, no, we need your daughter. She can help us find the cure. Meanwhile, Jill is like, I was kidding. She's like, you know, my daughter was probably faking it. Jill gets the fuck out of work and goes home to find her daughter. Mm-hmm. She gets there and she can't find her daughter. And her son says, grandma took her to church.
Yeah.
Before Jill can even get to church, her coworker is right behind her. And he's like, is your daughter here? Is she here? Is she sleeping? Is she sleeping?
Let me see that little sleeping bitch.
I see her eyes closed.
Oh my God.
But Jill's trying to talk her way out of it. And she's like, oh no, sorry. She's like, she was just faking it. And then Jill's son is like, no, she wasn't faking. Like, I had to shake her to wake her up. She was 100% sleeping.
That's the most realistic thing in this movie, is a kid like contradicting the mom at the worst time. Totally happens. Okay, so Jill's daughter, Matilda, is at church with the grandma. And you know what? This is very believable that people will come to church to find answers, because there are weird things happening. There's no power anywhere. There's no communication. No one knows what's going on. It could be World War III. We don't know. And then on top mm-hmm. of it, people aren't sleeping, which again seems to be the main priority of everyone. No one's shouting mm-hmm. out, why did the power grid fail and drain all the batteries and nothing works? No one's asking that. Everyone's asking, why didn't I sleep last night?
Again, you guys are weak. It's one night.
Grandma, I think the grandma spilled the beans on the little girl, right? Because the pastor knows that the little girl can sleep.
So the pastor knows the little girl can sleep. He has the little girl sequestered upstairs in his office, mm-hmm. trying to get her to fall asleep so everyone could witness this miracle.
I was so confused why the pastor, like, he tells this little girl a really dark story. He says that he used to be a drug addict, and then he shows her the tattoo on his arm where he, like, got a tattoo to cover up like the scars yeah. of his drug use. And I'm like, bro, she's 7 years old. Like, what are you doing?
Yes. And then he starts saying about, you know, how, like, you know, Jesus, he rose from the ashes, and talks about how God sacrificed Jesus. And the little girl looks at him and goes, so you think I should die?
Yeah. If she can prove to them that she sleeps, she could be a beacon of hope. And I yes. genuinely believe this is where the pastor's coming from, where he's like, hey, people came to church today to look for hope because, again, they didn't sleep last night. And so if we could show them that it's possible to sleep, they will have hope.
Yeah. So after she is indeed sleeping in his office, he goes downstairs and he's like, a miracle is upstairs in my office. The child is asleep. She is asleep upstairs and there is hope here. And listen, people are like, killer.
The way this became so unhinged, because this woman stands up and she's like, maybe we're supposed to sacrifice her.
It's not even just one person. It's like five people are like, sacrifice, sacrifice.
The pastor's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That is not what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm. They didn't sleep last night. And then today, like midday, they were like, we must sacrifice the child. To who? To whom?
Literally, to whom?
To whom are we sacrificing the child?
It's too soon for that. I'm not saying let's not sacrifice the child. I'm just saying it's too soon. Like, maybe put that card in your back pocket.
What are you going to do? Throw her in a volcano? You're not sacrificing to what? The old gods? The new gods? The Christian god? Who are you sacrificing her to and for what reason?
I think the editing in this movie is fucked because as far as we know, this is the morning after. So these people mm-hmm. have gone one night without sleep and they're ready to sacrifice a little girl. And it only gets more violent from there because Jill barges in looking for her daughter. Her co-worker, who's kind of thirsty to find the girl that can sleep, he barges in behind her and he says, I need the girl. I need the girl. She is the key to the cure.
And obviously the congregation is like, no, we need the girl. We're going to sacrifice her. And the co-worker essentially says, if you don't give her to me, I'm going to come back with the army and they're not going to ask nicely. And Jill's like, no one is taking my daughter. She's coming with me.
Yeah. I guess there's a sheriff in the back of the congregation.
Uh-huh. There is.
The sheriff is real chill. He's really chill. Mm-hmm. You know what? He does what sheriffs do and he de-escalates the situation.
Yep. He shoots the coworker in the head.
He just shoots the guy in the fucking head. What is happening, Courtney? These people didn't sleep last night. And it's like, I have to keep reiterating that because, and also I just need to reiterate, this movie is not a comedy. Like if you're listening right now and you're like, oh my God, it's so quirky and fun and camp.
No.
That's not how it was portrayed. They were serious as a heart attack.
Yeah. There should be zero laughing.
You should not be laughing right now.
There should be no laughing. If you're laughing, you're going to hell.
And you know what I also didn't appreciate about this movie is the fact that like they zoomed in on the gore, which was so unnecessary. It was so unnecessary. It's like the guy gets shot in the head and then the camera
right through his eye.
Yeah. And then the camera just pans over his like the hole in his eye. And it's like, bro, didn't need that, but thanks.
Well, the little girl takes off running, okay? And everyone takes off after the little girl to go find her, except for the son. The son sticks around because he needs to find the address for the hub, like the research hub. So the son, he loots the dead body for the address, but everybody else takes off after the girl, okay? Everyone goes to the preacher's office and they can't find her. So like the grandma and the preacher are like, we don't know where she is. The sheriff is literally like holding a gun to grandma. Grandma's head, like, tell me where she is. And grandma's like, bitch, I was with you. I think grandma got, you know.
You think grandma got killed? We actually don't see her again. We don't see grandma again.
I think grandma and the preacher got pow-powed. I think they got avada'd by the sheriff.
Oh my God. No, that's the first I'm hearing about this. This is terrible.
It is. It's awful. It's awful.
Why are we laughing?
Because we're horrible people. Nana, no.
Okay. So the little girl was smart and she hid because she knew that people were after her for probably not chill reasons. Mm-hmm. The mom finds her and she manages to get her out of there. She had told the son, meet me in the woods. So they go out to the woods. And I guess I'm trying to figure out what the mom's plan is at this point, because she's running through the woods with her daughter and her son.
I think it's to just get as far away from the church as possible.
Okay. So at this point, the goal seems to be get a car. Like they need to get a car because they're not going to get anywhere on foot. There's chaos ensuing everywhere. So Jill leaves the daughter and the son in the woods so that she can go find a car because she knows a mechanic.
Yeah, she knows a mechanic. She sells some drugs. But the dudes the mechanic works with, they've already stomped him. So she has to wait for those guys to leave before she can steal her own car.
There's like two really unsavory guys there and they killed the mechanic. For why? For what reason? Who knows? But they killed him. And then once again, the camera has to like pan over this guy's stomped face. And it's like, why? Why are you doing this? The guys had figured out how to get two older cars started. To your point, I think, because you said, do the older cars have electrical parts?
There's less electrical parts.
Okay, whatever. They figured out how to get cars started. Jill is sneaking around, right? She doesn't want them to see her because they're obviously going to kill her. But she manages to take the keys of one of the cars and the guys can't move that car. So they leave in the other car.
And Jill takes this older blue car. She goes back to the kids. They kind of start to form a plan. Noah, Jill's son, tells Jill, we should go to the hub. They will take care of Matilda. They will find a cure. And Jill's like, no, that is a bad idea. That is a bad idea. Noah essentially is like, listen, if we don't take her there, you and I will both be dead in days.
Yeah.
And Matilda will be alone.
Jill explains to her son that when she was stationed overseas, she worked with that psychiatrist lady, and they were essentially overseeing the torture that they were doing of prisoners. And the main torture they used was sleep deprivation. So it's understandable that she doesn't trust them with her daughter.
Dr. Lori Murphy, the head of the hub, as a psychiatrist, but she's a psychiatrist that specializes in psychological torture.
Mm-hmm. How many days does it take to die from sleep deprivation?
Like 11, okay. I think.
So
actually, hold on. Let me fact check that real quick. I think it's like 11. Going without sleep for any longer than 36 hours is dangerous, but the record is actually 10 days.
Okay, so you could last 10 days without sleeping before
theoretically.
You die. Theoretically. So at this point, the movie has shown us two nights because we're now going into the second night that they have shown us. However, Jill says, we haven't slept in 4 days. I feel like this is where the editing messes up because maybe there had been more time that happened between the people in the church being crazy. You know what I mean? Like maybe it hadn't been just one night.
Yeah. You know what? We have Jill and she's kind of losing it a little bit. They stop at a library because Jill has decided we need books on mapping. She's also decided, hey, wait a minute. It's time for Matilda to learn how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, this was definitely the part where it was like, okay, your brain's definitely not working.
Uh-huh.
Because Jill found a gun on a body and I thought, okay, this is smart. You need a gun. It's the end of days. Mm-hmm. But then she proceeds to waste like 3 bullets on nothing.
Yeah, she's like, okay, baby, this is your new school. When mommy's gone, you need to find a library and keep reading. And listen, baby girl is so just confused and like terrified. Jill is obviously losing it. She shoots towards her son because she forgot her son was in the library.
Yeah.
She thought he was in the car. And then once Jill and Noah find books on mapping to figure out how far away the hub is, they hear a commotion outside. Matilda's in the car. Why would you let her go out to the car alone?
Yeah. Again, at this point in the movie, like literally starting now, I can forgive a lot of stupid things because you could just say, oh, well, you know, the main character's brain isn't working properly. That's why she's making stupid decisions, right? Because letting your daughter be outside sleeping in a working car in the middle of the apocalypse, like, not a good idea.
Which is exactly what happened. Jill sees prisoners, okay? Because they found a library next to a prison.
Mm-hmm.
She sees a whole bunch of prisoners outside. And then she sees her car take off.
Yes, one of the prisoners steals their car with the daughter in the back seat. And at first I was wondering, like, why are these prisoners just now getting out of jail? But then one of them explains that they had been like, I guess they didn't know the power went out or something. And they were sitting there hungry. And then they said the guards came back and let them out.
Yeah, they said that a random guard came back and just opened the doors and let them out.
But I feel like the doors are electronic. They should have just opened.
I don't know. Again, if you think we're getting things wrong, same. Because we don't know.
We don't know.
But Jill runs out of that library like a bat out of hell. The car is gone, okay? But this group of prisoners comes up and confronts Noah and Jill.
The prisoners are starting to surround Jill and her son. They're being creepy and they're insinuating that they want to take her son. So Jill obviously points the gun at them and they don't seem to believe her until she shoots a bullet. Thankfully, at this point, the prisoner that took the car with the girl in it turns back around and pulls up.
Jill shot her last bullet at these prisoners, but she doesn't know it's her last bullet until she shoots it. And then she's like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
The prisoner comes back who stole her car. The prisoner comes back and Matilda's in the back seat. She's like, mommy, get in, get in.
I made a new friend.
I made a new friend.
Yeah.
And so Noah and Jill get in the car with this prisoner whose name is Dodge.
He's chill. Dodge is chill.
He's chill.
Like, he, to me, it seems like his only intentions are to get far away from the prison as possible. He's just mm-hmm. happy to be free.
Yeah, that's what he tells Jill. He's like, my goal is to get as much distance between this prison and me. And so, listen, like, I am going to take this car. So, like, I'll take you in this car with me.
Right.
But I ain't giving the car back.
Yeah.
So, that's where we at.
So, again, Jill isn't thinking straight. And somehow, her priority right now seems to be like, prepare my daughter for the world without me, because I think Jill keeps thinking like, I'm gonna die, my son is gonna die, but my daughter's gonna survive. So now Jill is trying to teach her daughter how to drive, and it's like, sweetie pie, time and place. Do you know what I mean? Time and place.
Jill's in the front seat with Matilda. Okay, Matilda's driving the car, and then you have Dodge and Noah in the back seat. But then the road is blocked.
There's something blocking the road, right? It's some sort of weird contraption. It almost seems mm-hmm. like there's bodies in it. Like, the world has lost its mind. By the time Jill realizes that they're driving straight towards this contraption, it's a little mm-hmm. too late to swerve around it. So they go through it.
Jill switches places real quick with Matilda. So Jill is now driving. But essentially what it is there is this contraption blocking the road. And there's people behind this contraption that are there to capture people in cars. People come out of the woodwork, essentially. They come out of the woods, they come out of this contraption and start busting out the windows of this car and grabbing them.
It was so weird. It was like a really violent scene where Joe is trying mm-hmm. to drive through this obstacle, and then there's a ton of mm-hmm. people just reaching their arms in the car, trying to get them out of the car. And someone even has a gun and shoots a gun at some point, like up in the air or uh-huh. something. But Courtney, the craziest thing, like, I said out loud, this movie is a mess, because the very next scene, like the super chaotic moment, cuts to Matilda sleeping in the back seat and it's over.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, wait a minute, was that a dream? Did we hallucinate that? Like, this movie is such a mess.
Well, we definitely didn't hallucinate it, because there's blood all over the inside of the car and the windows are busted out.
But do you see what I mean? Like, the editing is so bizarre.
Yeah, it's definitely bizarre.
So the plan is to get to the hub, to the research hub. So again, the inmate, the good inmate, Dodge, he intends mm-hmm. on keeping the car. So he drops them off about a mile mm-hmm. away from the hub, because Jill wants to check it out first and make sure that it's safe. And that checks out. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. So Jill takes the kids through the woods and she leaves them at this like house that she finds. And she's like, hey, listen, there's enough food to last you here for about a week. Stay here until I come back and get you. If anybody comes, I want you to hide. So Jill leaves the kids there. And then she goes up to the hub to kind of check it out and see what's going on.
So the hub is essentially a military installation, like a military... Mm-hmm. A military-controlled research center. And I say, mm-hmm. you know, I always say this, sneaking up on a military installation in the middle of a crisis is always a good idea. Like, it's always what you want to do.
Listen, Jill makes it look way easier than it should be.
Yeah, because the gates, like, to get into this installation, it's a bridge. But then Jill just goes under the bridge and just goes up like a little mm-hmm. path. And what do you know? She overhears two soldiers discussing out loud the code to get into the locked door that's right there mm-hmm. at the other end of the path.
Like, have you ever tried getting into a commissary without your ID?
They will tackle you to the ground.
Absolutely not. And they'd be like, bitch, no. But so Jill walks in. She types in her little code that she overheard. She goes into this building. She grabs a lab coat.
What do you know? There's a lab coat right there by the door.
Just for Jill. A lab coat for Jill. Jill's lab coat.
Yes.
She puts it on and then she sees another doctor. And then she goes, where's the lady that can sleep? Mm-hmm. And he just goes, right over here.
Yeah.
Let me show you.
No questions asked, stranger. This way.
Not a single question.
Yeah. Our most valuable asset is right this way.
No.
By the way, the key code thing, it works. That's electric.
Oh, there's lights all over the place in here.
So, like, I don't, like, what? Like, why aren't we giving people power? Like, you guys have power.
Why would the military share their assets with us? Duh.
Anyway, so it turns out the woman that's being studied because she can sleep is an old lady. Like, she is probably 155 years old. Like, this lady is so old.
Yes, and she just wants to die. Jill goes in to talk to this lady, and this lady's like, I should have died months ago. They're keeping me alive. Please kill me.
Jill's plan when she goes up to this old lady. Like, I'm not understanding like what she's there to do until she goes up to this senile old lady and says, I'm going to get you out of here. You're going to raise my daughter. I'm just like, what?
And this old lady's like, holy fuck, you're crazy too.
The old lady's like, bitch, I am 175 years old. Please, like, put this pillow over my face.
She's like, I fought in the Civil War.
Abraham Lincoln was in my kindergarten class. Like, I am ready to go.
Yeah, she is done. And Jill is essentially like, no, like, my daughter can sleep too, and I'm going to get you out of here, and you're going to raise her because the rest of us are going to die. And this old lady is like, no, like, I should have died months ago. They're keeping me alive. Mm-hmm. Like, please help me. You have to kill me. And then Dr. Murphy comes in and is like, Jill, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Dr. Murphy tells Jill, like, oh, we could use your help. This is where we get a little more exposition. We learn that it's been 6 days. Sure, we've seen 3 nights, but okay, it's been 6 days. Dr. Murphy tells Jill what caused everything was a solar flare. It took out everything electrical, and it also disrupted our bioelectric magnetic wiring.
Yeah, it fucked up our lymphatic system, and now we just can't sleep.
You know that thing when you're doing the gua sha and you're like massaging your face? It like fucked that up, okay? That's the hill that this movie wants to die on.
The sun gua sha'd us real bad.
The sun gua sha'd us so bad. This movie is so stupid.
Okay, well, we just need to get like a masseuse in here to gua sha us real good and we can sleep.
I saw a tutorial on TikTok. I know how to fix this. But you know what?
Okay.
I looked it up on ChatGPT. I was like, okay, first of all, I looked up, can a solar flare mess with the electrical systems? And like, yes, it can. Like a really powerful solar flare can do that. And then I asked ChatGPT, could that solar flare also mess with our magnetic, electrical, biological wiring or whatever? And ChatGPT was like, no, are you stupid? ChatGPT was literally like, no, that wouldn't happen. And I don't know if ChatGPT is lying, because sometimes I feel like ChatGPT like lies.
Okay, what part of science fiction did you not understand, you Courtney, stupid dumb bitch?
No, but like the thing about science fiction is it has to be theoretically possible.
You know what? Mermaids are theoretically possible too.
That's not science fiction, bitch. That's fantasy.
What's the difference? I'm just kidding. I know the difference.
And this movie doesn't know. This movie doesn't know.
See, I know the difference between science fiction and fantasy. I don't really know the difference between paranormal and fantasy, to be completely honest. Mm. Nobody does. That is something that nobody wants you to know. Nobody knows the difference between paranormal and fantasy. Yeah. Not a goddamn person knows the difference. They just want to gaslight you into being like, that's not paranormal. That's fantasy. Okay, Glenda, tell me the fucking difference.
Tell me the difference.
Anyways, so Jill and Dr. Murphy are talking, and then there's a commotion outside. Mm-hmm. All right. Jill runs outside. Dodge pulls up outside with Noah and Matilda. So the military, all these soldiers are like, get on the ground, pulling guns on Dodge and the children. We have Jill who's trying to run after her children. She gets tackled. And so I don't know what happened. I don't know why Dodge has the children. I don't know if Dodge sought the children out.
That was so weird.
I don't know if the children sought Dodge out.
Right, because the last time we saw Dodge, he was saying goodbye and Jill was taking her kids through the woods to find this house. So it was so bizarre. And then also Jill very specifically told her kids, stay here. And now essentially her kids, specifically the girl Matilda, is turning herself in. She's literally saying, I can sleep. She's turning herself in.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I kind of think maybe Dodge went and got the kids and was like, hey, I'll take you to your mom.
Who knows?
You know what? Dodge may have took a little loop-de-loop. He may have saw the hub. He saw that sweet electricity. Mm. And he was like, you know what that looks like? That looks like air conditioning.
That looks like Netflix, baby.
That looks like a hot shower. But anyways, so the next scene we get is essentially Dr. Murphy is there talking to Jill. Jill is handcuffed to a pipe in a room. Mm-hmm. So is Noah. Jill and Noah are handcuffed to pipes in a room. Dr. Murphy tells Jill, I'm really disappointed that you didn't bring your daughter directly to me. But as a mother, I understand. I get it. I'm still going to go run tests on your daughter like a tiny little lab rat.
Yeah.
But I understand. But then also they find out that Dodge is an electrician. So they get Dodge a uniform and they put his ass to work.
Yeah. Never mind that he literally just walked out of a jail cell like yesterday.
They changed his clothes. They don't know.
Yeah.
don't ask questions. Jill's like, how long have I been here? They're like, oh, about 18 hours. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? Cognitively, psychologically, everyone's kind of going downhill very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Time is progressing and everyone is deteriorating.
And we start to see this in the way the movie is shot, right? Which I get it. Like, they're starting to show the scenes in a very disoriented way where it's hard to make sense of what's happening. And for instance, the hub is being attacked.
The hub gets, quote, attacked. A soldier goes over and screams, grenade! Mm-hmm. And we see the grenade and it's a pine cone.
Yeah.
So that starts off a gunfight.
He starts shooting. Everybody else starts shooting. So essentially the hub is under attack, but it's attacked. It's being attacked from the inside because all of these soldiers are sleep deprived, like delirious, and mm-hmm. are killing each other, thinking that they are each other's enemies. It's believable.
Yes.
It is believable. I understand that this could happen, but also mm-hmm. did we not anticipate this when we gave these guys machine guns?
Honestly, like, they had this cocktail for mental sharpness that they've been injecting into these soldiers' carotid artery every like 12 hours. However, they're like, it does cause some neurological damage. So like, how many times can you give it to them theoretically?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have Dr. Murphy and Dr. Murphy's associate that are working with Matilda and the older woman that can sleep. The older one of them that can sleep, she croaks. Okay. She's dead, dead.
How does she die? Does she just...
I think she has like a cardiac arrest and just dies.
Okay.
Like, her heart just gives out. She dies. So Dr. Murphy says, go get the girl's brother. I want to study them side by side. Okay. She's clearly losing it. And she has her associates go to grab Noah from his little prison cell with his mom. Meanwhile, chaos is ensuing. A lady comes in to the prison cell and she goes, Sandra, is that you? And Jill's like, yeah, yeah, it's me. And the woman goes, you cunt. And she shoots at Jill,
yeah.
But she shoots the pipe, making it weak, and Jill's able to break it.
Yes, I thought it was like a gas pipe.
I think it might have been oxygen. It might have been gas, a gas of some sort, but I don't think it was like natural gas, or those they would have died.
Yeah, so now Jill is able to get out. But again, Jill is deteriorating really quickly along with everybody else. The assistant to Dr. Murphy takes Dr. Murphy out because he's not agreeing with the whole experimenting on a child. Somehow he's got it together.
Dr. Murphy's associate gives Dr. Murphy an air embolism on purpose because he doesn't agree with experimenting on a child. And then he just kind of curls up in a ball and waits to die.
Yeah.
So Noah is also deteriorating because Noah's been awake as long as everybody else has. Mm-hmm. He is hallucinating that he is gutting a fish, but it's actually like an electrical box.
Yeah.
And he electrocutes himself.
He gets electrocuted. His heart stops. And Matilda, who found her way back to her brother and her mother, sees her brother essentially has died, his heart stopped. Now, again, outside of this hub, chaos is ensuing because all the soldiers are shooting at each other, thinking that the hub is being attacked. So Matilda is using the defibrillator on her brother to restart his heart, and she actually ends up getting knocked out by the jolt of it.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, she wakes up and everything's quiet because the war outside has ended.
Because everyone's dead.
Everyone is dead. And Jill, who is also dying, is sobbing while holding her unconscious son.
Yes. She's like laying across Noah's chest. She thinks Noah's dead. You have Matilda, who wakes up. She thinks Noah's dead and she starts crying. But then she sees Noah's chest rising and falling. And she's like, Noah, like, he's alive. Mom, Noah's alive. And so she shakes him. Noah wakes up and Noah's like, I was dreaming. And so like, Noah, Jill, and Matilda, they go outside and they are like, we're just going to steal this car. We're going to get the fuck out of here. Okay. Noah's going to drive.
Well, Noah is carrying Jill at this point because she is doing so poorly. Obviously, now Noah's doing better because he just got a full night's sleep. At this point, I'm screaming at the screen because I'm like, dudes, I figured this out like all the way in the beginning. Like, why can't you guys figure it out? But finally, the little girl figures out, like, she realizes, oh my God, wait a minute. I died in the water and I was resuscitated and I can sleep. Noah just died last night and was resuscitated and he was able to sleep. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me this whole time all we had to do was unplug ourselves and plug ourselves back in?
Yeah, power up, power down, bitches.
It's so basic. You know, if something's not working, you unplug it and you plug it back in. Did you try turning it off and turning it back on?
Yes. And so that's what they do to their mom. They take their mom into this little pond and they drown her.
Just girly things.
They take mom into the pond. They drown her. We see them doing CPR on mom. Mom's eyes are just like dead fish eyes, just awake, staring.
Dude, and I'm thinking like, what if they can't bring her back?
What if it was like too late? What if you waited too long?
Yeah.
Well, also in order for CPR to like work, you have to like break ribs.
Right. Yeah. We see Noah really working on the mom to try to get her back again. And I'm just thinking this whole time, like, holy cow, like, if this doesn't work, these kids are going to be really messed up.
Yeah, because they just drowned their mom.
Yeah. Well, the screen goes black and then we hear Jill gasping for air. So that's the end of the movie, is that Jill survived. And I'm just like, cool, but what now?
Do you just drown any remaining survivors?
Are we just going to go around drowning people? Like, source, trust me, bro.
Like, if this was happening and somebody came up and they're like, hey, I know how to fix this.
Yeah.
Let me show you to this bathtub.
Well, then also I'm thinking like, okay, so Noah obviously got to sleep the night before and that's why he's okay. But like Jill is conscious, like her dying had to do with her not sleeping. So she's technically still dying. She still has to sleep.
I think she's probably going to pass out.
Okay. Pass out unconscious. Okay. Girl, I don't know. Sometimes you reach the point of being so tired that you can't sleep.
That's fair. They should probably take her back inside and give her some of that stuff they gave. Some of that stuff they gave Matilda to make her fall asleep.
Anesthesia?
Yeah. They should give her some of that stuff, like that gas stuff.
We forgot to mention, because it's just so ridiculous and we don't need to inject more ridiculous things in the middle of our recap to distract you. But in this research hub, in the same place where they were keeping the old woman who could sleep, there was also randomly a monkey with
The monkey.
Like his scalp was open and you could see his whole brain and they were studying him.
Yeah, essentially that monkey couldn't sleep either. I guess animals couldn't sleep at this point. They can't sleep. They had the monkey's skull cut open so you could see their brain. And they are like, yeah, so we're studying what the monkey's brain looks like. And so the only way to keep the swelling down is to keep the fluid off the brain. But the only way to keep the brain clean is the fluid. So we have to like clean the monkey's brain with like artificial cerebral fluid. But we have to keep the fluid off the brain in order to keep it from swelling. It's wild.
Did you know, fun fact, do you know what happens to your brain when you're sleeping?
No.
So your brain is actually being washed by the fluid. Like literally your brain is washed in your sleep.
Ugh.
I think that's a good thing. But you know the creepy thing that happens in your sleep? A lot of people don't notice. You're paralyzed. When you are in REM sleep, your brain disconnects from your spinal cord so that you don't act out your dream. Otherwise, it would be dangerous. And so people who act out their dreams, that's not happening. And that's why that's a problem. It's dangerous.
Oh, shit. I used to sleepwalk as a kid.
I wonder if people that are sleepwalking are doing it while they're in REM sleep or if they're just like in like a subconscious level where you're just like barely conscious.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I have no idea.
I have one last question for you, Courtney, before we wrap this up. How many nights of sleep do you have to miss before you're ready to sacrifice a little girl?
Honestly, I'm a pussy. So it's like wake me up an hour early and I'm ready to sacrifice a child.
That's fair. Listen, I'm not going to tell you how to live. You know what? It's 2024. I'm not going to tell you how to live.
So no, realistically, I'd probably have to miss 2 to 3 days of sleep before I'm ready to sacrifice a child. And it would have to be a really annoying child.
Really annoying child. Not a cute one. The cute ones are fine.
No, it would have to be like a child that's like making like dinosaur pterodactyl sounds in the background.
Honestly, I mean, they don't talk about this, but like newborns would be the first to die because newborns need so much sleep. You know that? They need so much sleep because their brain is like growing so quickly. So newborns probably died in like a day.
Honestly, newborns probably did die in a day, especially because like their moms probably were just so over. They were so tired. Newborns got punted straight out a fucking window.
Dude, I have experience with prolonged sleep deprivation. So not like 100% not sleeping, but so there's something called sleep debt, which is if you're not getting the sleep you need over a long period of time, it does accumulate. And I did have an instance of that when I was alone with my 3-month-old and my husband was deployed to Afghanistan. I was all alone. And over the course of several weeks, I was getting maybe 3 hours of sleep at night, and they weren't even consecutive. So it was like really bad. So I just felt tired. But then after a while, I started to feel my brain not working right. I started to like have a hard time thinking straight. But the scariest thing that started happening when I realized, okay, no, I can't have me time at night when I put him down. I need to go straight to bed. It's when I started to hallucinate. Like I hallucinated an earthquake. I hallucinated people breaking into our house. So that's when I was like, oh shit. No, I need to catch up on my sleep.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it got scary.
It's because you need to be asleep for 90 minutes for your brain to enter REM sleep.
Yeah.
So if you weren't, if your 3 hours wasn't consecutive, like you weren't getting any REM sleep.
My kid was waking up every like hour and a half to 2 hours to breastfeed. It was like really bad. He would just wake up screaming. He was the chubbiest little baby you've ever seen. He had like rolls on rolls. And meanwhile, I was like, emaciated. I was emaciated meanwhile. But, you know, it's the hottest I ever looked.
You're like, I'm just so skinny.
I am about to die, but I'm skinny.
Meanwhile, after I had my first baby, he looked emaciated as fuck because he was 6 weeks early.
Aww.
And I looked like I was getting ready to go to Biggest Loser. No. So like, you know, it was the opposite.
Anyway, the teapot is empty for today.
Don't worry, more is brewing it on the way. We'll be back next week with another episode.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.